off my writing, but I've decided it's important to note that it was actually our first in-person event since the pandemic. We were on the planning committee. It was an in-person resource fair open house at the AJC in Bridgeport. He actually sent an email today. There was 82 participants that came. We had a table, and we ended up having about six of us, our staff, I was there as well, participate. And then our Bridgeport BRS office got flooded yesterday. So we all pretty much stayed for the entire afternoon. So it was a great event. We kind of had our own area, so not all 82 participants came to our table, but we had quite a few. I would say about 15 stop in just to ask about our services, some questions about BRS. So it was really a successful day. They had the career bus. They had this new career bus that goes from site to site. And it has computers, and it's basically a mobile AJC. It's really nice, actually, and they just upgraded it. So that was there yesterday. It was a great event. It was actually nice to see. It's one of the first that we've had, at least that we've participated in, that's been so large since the pandemic. As far as things that have been going on over the year, like we are still having virtual trainings, which has actually been a benefit for us, because being that we're a national program, that we're able to participate in a lot of community practices, a lot of conferences that are online, so we're able to collaborate with other agencies throughout the country. We had our national conference again that was virtual in April. So we had about 10 staff, including two SRC members, attend the CSAVR, the Council of State Administrators for Voc Rehab, and the National Council of State Agencies for the Blind, participate in both. They were both a week long, half days, but both 5 days. So we had about 10 plus two attend that. So that's been a plus of the pandemic, that we're able to do a lot more of these virtual trainings. I do think they're saying that in September we'll be back in person. So we'll hopefully that will happen, because there's definitely a benefit of being in person as well. We also have our council coordinator participated. They have a national employment team that's in inspired by the CSAVR. They have a representative that works with a national employer. So our council coordinator has been on the planning committee, and they're actually doing, it's actually called the Best Practice Group for Voc Rehab Employment. So they're actually planning a virtual job fair that's coming up in the next couple months, that are be specializing in remote employment throughout the country for individuals who are blind or other disabilities. So that's kind of exciting. So that's another good thing that's come out of the pandemic, is that there's just a lot more opportunity for our clients to be able to have these remote jobs and be virtual, but live in Connecticut, but maybe working in another state. So we're looking forward to that. There's anticipated a lot of agencies that will be attending that. Another initiative that we're participating in is that we're rolling out a pretty extensive customized employment collaboration with the Bureau of Rehab Services and the Department of Developmental Services and State Department of Ed are all collaborating with this model. And we had three staff audit. They had an extensive training program. It was almost like a college class, I would say. And we audited it. I was one of the auditors. It was actually very time consuming, but very good. So we were able to just get a big handle on this like very extensive initiative that will benefit a few of our clients to be able to offer customized employment. And the way it was kind of designed by the Rehab Act, in Connecticut, so we're excited for that. BRS is pretty much already rolling it out. We're going to be jumping on board very shortly. And I think that's it.
Mary, does CSAVR and CSAVL announce the conference to adopt a hybrid model?
No, not that I'm aware of. They haven't mentioned that, actually. They do, the conferences, although in person, run back to back, is primarily because they want to keep the two the state agencies when it is out of state out there, like, because sometimes it's in California. So you travel all to California, you might as well stay and go to both conferences. But virtually, they actually haven't been back to back. They've been actually a few weeks apart. So they have it almost the opposite. They've almost established a separate conference. RSA does come and speak to both conferences. So when CSAVR is always first. So when RSA comes and speaks, they give an update to kind of a similar update. And sometimes there are some things that are brought from CSAVR to NCSAV. But NCSAV has really done a good, I shouldn't say a good job, but like it was, but it's their purpose. So it is a good job of keeping it very blindness specific. So it really is about like blindness and technology and all the services, really EP is a big piece of it. So they're different. They're very different conferences. So I'm gonna probably guess not, that we will not. We're still members of both. We actually have there's a fee to be a member for every state agency. Like BRS wouldn't be a member of NCSAB, but we are. But each separate agency actually pays a membership, so they're actually two different memberships.
But I think the ability to go virtual is also dependent on which facility they go to, and sure, some places are better than others in terms of providing that. So it does make it very complicated. I can see why they would want to go in person. With regard to on the topic of NCSAD, do you know offhand how many states maintain separate programs for rehab services and blindness?
That's a good question. The last I knew, we were about 79 state agencies. Obviously there's 50 states, but there's also they also consider Puerto Rico and a few other like Guam, that are also have VR agencies. So it's not necessary. So I would say roughly, I can ask, actually get back to you, but I would say there's probably roughly 20 or maybe a little less or separate.
I recall.
Yes, 21, that would be something good to know. If you could just put that in your next report, because I'd be interested to see how many.
I definitely.
The pandemic, how many agencies have maintained their separate identities.
Sure, and one kind of plus, which I should add, although it's not necessarily Bazzaby, but it's Connecticut, that Dave Dokas, the director of BRS, is actually the president for CSAVR next year. So that's always been, so it's actually, it's obviously like a very good accomplishment for him to get nominated for that, but it's also good to have somebody local having the inside, track of CSAVR.
Right.
He's going to be at the forefront of interacting with this conference, even with people at the conference. So I thought that was important to add. That's always nice. Brian had been at that point, but
They're very important conferences, and they're great opportunities to see what everybody else is doing across the country and to make good contact. Thanks for your report, and with that, any questions for Mary?
Yes, I have a couple. Mary, I don't know if you, how are we doing financially for our program the next 2 years?
Well, actually, we're actually doing, as far as like having a lot of money, we have a lot, we're actually doing very well financially. The pandemic has created a surplus for us. We're working on trying to meet our state match and meet our spending our federal dollars. Unfortunately, we've had a few vacant positions, we didn't send as many individuals out of state because the virtual aspect of personal adjustment trainings are so much cheaper. Those programs can run about $20,000 depending on which one you go to. So when you go virtually or you don't send somebody, so we have not spent a lot of money, and our maintenance of effort is 2 years. So we're comparing the pandemic versus non-pandemic, so most likely we will not make our maintenance of effort. So chances are good that we will be probably returning some money to the government, but I think we're in the same boat as a lot of states. BRS, we do it as a state. You know, we can do it as a state, or we can do it not as a state, but we are this time around doing it by state. So we're actually collaborating with BRS in this, and Dave's got a very good handle on it. So he's, you know, they're obviously much bigger than us. So we're almost like a drop in the bucket regarding them. So
how is
working it out.
Yeah. How is the Social Security reimbursement program going?
You know, we've actually, you know, I haven't gotten numbers recently, but we average about, we've still been averaging getting back a good amount of Social Security reimbursement. We do have an individual doing it for our program. She actually is out of central office, and she does do our, you know, so the last I asked, we had a couple, you know, like $200,000 back. So, you know, individuals are still being employed, you know, are getting employed. Our numbers are definitely lower than they had been. They were very low the first couple of years of the pandemic, but they're definitely on an upswing. You know, we're not quite where we were pre-pandemic, but we are, you know, getting there. We're getting closer. And I know I mentioned it in our special meeting, but we are one of the very, you know, few states, as far as blindness states, they didn't actually specify other agencies, but we were the second in the country as far as bouncing back with clients. So as far as intakes and referrals, you know, they're coming in. It's just a matter of getting people to be comfortable getting, going out, finding jobs out in the community again, going to the personal adjustment trainings in person, and that's all starting to happen.
Okay, my last question is, how is the transition to employment going, or a transition that we put out for kids from high school to make that transition?
Well, that's going, it's going well. We actually, we hired, you know, Charlotta Copenhaver was our transition counselor for the southern part of the state. And she was promoted to take over Barry's job, which was the transition coordinator. So she's kind of, you know, because she was internal, she's qualified. She's kind of helping cover her caseload that's vacant. And we have another transition counselor. So with all of that, we've been able to kind of get by, you know, with servicing all of our clients. Hopefully, ideally, we'll be able to pull Charlotta out. And, you know, have her just focusing on, you know, finding employment opportunities and programs, developing programs for our clients. But right now she's doing both. But we are pretty high as far as our clients participating in activities. And again, this is actually another perk of the pandemic. You know, like when we went into the pandemic, that was something that actually increased dramatically for us. It was actually like we had so many of our high school students, college students participating in internships virtually, work-based learnings virtually, programs virtually, and these were not offered in the past. So we would probably triple, if not more, the amount of people going into employment. We're keeping that going. So Charlotta has gotten, we've kept that each summer, you know, to that level, you know, that we have just a lot more individuals going into employment this summer. So that's actually been one of the perks. I'm not sure if that's going to continue, you know, after, you know, like things open up fully, but, you know, but it's definitely, that's been definitely a perk for us. Even though we are very short staffed, you know, we're, you know, Charlotta was a seasoned employer, you know, employee, you know, so she kind of just hit the ground running. So there wasn't a lot of disruption in that part of the services, which has been great. So definitely one of our shining, you know, parts of our program for sure. We probably have less individuals. That's another part of our budget issues, which, you know, like we have probably a lot more college students taking gap years. And I feel like that's changing going forward, that more people are now going in person, you know, to college, you know, like rather than staying home, taking a gap year, going to Gateway, which is not a bad thing either. But like, I think there was an increase because of because of COVID, that there was a lot more individuals staying or waiting to go to college.
Yeah.
So that's all on the upswing. So
okay, thank you. One quick question on your report. I believe that's the Lions World Services Center in Arkansas. It's not.
Yeah. Well, they actually. Yep. They actually changed their name to World Services for the Blind. I don't know if they still go by that.
Okay, because I was down there several years ago.
Yeah, they actually. I don't know why. Actually, I have no idea the justification, but they actually changed it, and it's actually now called World Services for the Blind.
Okay.
But,
right.
So, same program though, variation probably of you know the last few years they've expanded, but it's the same program you're talking about.
Okay. Thank you.
This is Eileen with two questions. One question with two parts and then another question. My two-part question, with regard to your working with the American Job Centers and your mention of remote/virtual job opportunities, for both of those programs, how many actual closures have you had that have resulted in employment?
You mean like for as far as our performance year? Now that the VIR program is now on a performance year, so we go from July 1st to June 30th. So this year, as far as our closures, we're probably looking at about 80, maybe 82, which again is extremely low for us, but we were probably 55, 56 the last couple of years. So we're definitely on the upswing. You know, but it's still not where we want to be. We actually, our closures are not necessarily an indication of how many individuals are working. It just means that they're successfully working. So, you know, and they're done with services. So during the pandemic, we held on to a lot of individuals who were working just to make sure that they were able to keep their job, that they got the services they needed, to re-enter in person. So we didn't close a lot of people. So it's not necessarily that we had less people employed, we just had less people that we were able to close out. And now we're getting to the point that we're able to close more individuals out. I'm saying about, we're not quite done yet, but like, you know, with the year, we've got a couple more weeks. And last I checked, we were at 79. So I would say we'd have about maybe three or four more to go.
Okay, and that would include remote/slash virtual jobs as well as affiliation with the American Job Centers?
This is actually just individuals who are employed. We don't actually like separate, you know, how many individuals were like got a job from the American Job Centers. You know, like it's just not like a statistics that we use. It's more that we collaborate with them. You know, we kind of like collaborate on their resources. Like our clients may participate in a virtual training program. You know, unfortunately, like I would say there's probably very few that have gotten jobs from the American Job Centers. I had asked that statistic not that long ago, and it's very low. Their job developers are not very well versed on working with our individuals. So most of our employer, like clients that have gotten employment have come from our own VR counselors or our CRPs, our community rehab providers, not the AJC. They may help give us contacts and then say, here, you know, to one of our VR counselors, go contact that employer. You know, so that happens frequently. So it's hard to know, because we just don't track it, basically, I guess.
No, I appreciate that. Now, what about, have there been new jobs or new employment opportunities that have gotten results through a definition of remote/virtual jobs?
That'd be an interesting statistic, and I can look at it actually. As far as you know, our individuals, or I can ask some of our counselors. The problem with voc rehab, and it's always kind of been a problem, because we're not really looking at live data. We're looking at closures based on an individual who comes through the program, finds a job, keeps their job, and then, like, after, like, all services are done, it's 90 days after that. So the average time in voc rehab for an individual is probably 24 months, you know. So the closures aren't necessarily reflective of what's happening in the last couple months. It would have to just be an anecdotal information from our staff, like how many people do you have that are working remotely, you know, and I could ask that, they'd be able to tell us that. But it's not a criteria that we measure. But I would say, just from my own experience, we are getting a lot of internships that are remote, a lot of work-based learning for our transition students. As far as permanent employment, not as much as, you know, we probably would have hoped, you know, but the internships are always good because they lead to permanent employment often, you know, but it's very hard for an individual just to go in and apply for a job and start working remote. And it seems like individuals who are already working went remote, or, like I said, the internship. So not as much as we probably would have hoped at the beginning of the pandemic, you know, but, you know, I think it's, once individuals get into their jobs, you know, then that option is offered to them. But it's very hard for, but again, in my update, they're doing that job fair of all just remote programs that are like specializing work with individuals with disabilities. So we you know, I was just having that conversation with some of the counselors yesterday, you know, regarding making sure that we're still making sure that individuals are able to get laptops and things to be able to work remotely. It's one of our state plan goals, but it's something we're continuing. That's a new thing for us, to make sure that you're able to work from home, that you can go in and say, I have all the assistive technology available, you know, if that position comes aboard. So, but I can find it out for you and get good, but it would be more anecdotal stuff than official.
That would be interesting.
Yeah.
My fine, and I always raise this concern, but what I'm also concerned about is everybody is so concerned about being politically correct. And what I'm really concerned about is during an interview process that prospective employers are reluctant to ask questions that they really have when they interview a prospective blind or visually impaired employee. How are their real questions handled that they are afraid to ask?
That's where we come into play. Like, you know, like if we're involved in the interview process, like it, or helping them find the job or community rehab providers, then we will, you know, intervene and kind of make sure that all of their questions are answered as far as assistive technology and different things. But as far as an individual that doesn't want us involved, and that there's quite a few individuals fall into that category, you know, there's just not much we can do in regarding that. And I think you're right. I think there's probably a lot less openness depending on the client. But we do get involved in that often. So we will make sure that there's definitely a job development strategy working with schools who are legally blind. You know, like they're for sure, you know, there's, you know, employers have a lot of anxiety, usually around financial and the assistive technology, I would say is the primary like anxiety, like, oh my God, you're going to be putting this technology in my workplace, and I'm going to have to know how to use it. You know, like, and I won't know how to use it. You know, so that's probably the number one issue with employers. So we our staff are all trained to just go out and make sure that they understand, you know, and we try to help their anxiety that you're not expected to know how to use JAWS. You're not expected to, some of the stuff you're not even expected to buy, you know. So yeah, so that's all on our counselors. and they're all trained.
And do VR counselors address that with their VR clients? That, look, we're not trying to be patronizing. We're not trying to rule your life. But what yeah. the reality is that a prospective employer may not ask you these frank questions. And so 100%. We're here to help.
No, 100%. That's like their primary role. Their primary job. So they're all like trained on it, and they're all good at it. Even when we're working with community rehab providers who are doing job development, we're involved. You know, our technologists are involved, our counselors are involved. We really don't we don't have individuals. That's primarily why the AJC doesn't get involved, because having a job developer go out and look for an employment for a disability they're not really aware of, it doesn't go well. You know, so we're always involved to some level. We do trainings to the CRPs, we do trainings to the AJCs, but, you know, when it push comes to shove, it comes down to our staff are definitely the most trained and the most able to do that.
Thank you.
I have a question for you. In terms of jobs, since the pandemic, are there new jobs that have opened up for our clients, like the public health field, the health field, medical field, that hadn't been with us before?
Yeah, you know, they're to some extent, I wouldn't say that there's a big influx of that. There's a lot of training programs that they have, like CNAs and different things that our clients have participated in, but right now, what we're seeing the biggest increases is the customer service and hospitality field, because that was what we lost the quickest. You know, so like when we shut down every single customer service, restaurant, you know, hospitality was a growing field as far as working in hotels, you know, even down to, you know, working in the laundry. All of those jobs we lost. So they're all now coming back. You know, which is good, you know, so there's a whole, like, so that's probably the quickest and the most increase that we've seen. And there's plenty, obviously, of clients that did not lose their jobs, you know, during the pandemic. But those were the ones that probably lost it the quickest. Just as we talk about BEP, it's a similar scenario in other type of service fields, you know, so... You know, but I haven't personally seen an increase. Like I haven't noticed an increase in the nursing and healthcare. You would think, but unfortunately I haven't. Actually, Griffin Hospital was there yesterday. They were giving out vaccines, and we actually had a BRS client. You know, who was actually talking about doing volunteer at the healthcare. And you know, so I think there are certain individuals who are going into that field. You know, but I don't know that we've seen it too much. There's a lot of inaccessibility with my chart and different things that we haven't necessarily worked out. So,
Are we going to take responsibility to figure out how to work with the my chart plus people to making it greater accessibility?
We have tried. It's a huge program, so that would require, which is not necessarily a bad idea, but that would require us to. It would have to be an outside source to script it, you know, and we would need to get the hospitals to agree to that, you know, so it would be a matter of re-scripting the entire system.
Well, can't Hartford Hospital is one of the largest mind charts in the state, can't you talk to somebody there and see what it would take?
Our technologist has talked to individuals at Yale, I believe. I'm not sure about Hartford. I should ask her. But yeah, we've attempted it. And then what ends up happening, you know, is if we did invest that amount of money, we need to know that we're going to have enough clients that are going to be interested in that. So every time we've tried to go into that direction, we have not had enough interest. You know, so, you know, just nobody wanted to go into that field at that point. So it's almost like we're developing something that we're not sure is going to be, you know, so that's kind of why it's always been kind of put to the side. So
this is Andrea. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have a question. And I understand that you are with rehab service, your rehab, and I get that. That's job placement. But As a person who is blind in the state of Connecticut, and every single one of my doctors wants me to access things through my chart, as someone who was once told that I couldn't get a I had a COVID test I was waiting on. This is what I was caring for my 100-year-old grandmother. And I called my doctor because it was done with a Hartford HealthCare, you know, they were the ones that did the test.